Broadcasting live from beautiful, historic Marion, Ohio, it's Now with Scott Spears. Call Scott live on the air anytime at 740-383-9944. No topic is too big or too small. I'm your announcer, the man with the golden voice, Ted Williams. And now, here's your host, Scott Spears.
Thank you, man with the golden voice, Ted Williams. Scott Spears coming at you here on a Getaway Friday. Friday, March the 8th, 2024, 3-8-24, second Friday in the month of March, coming close to spring, and of course Easter not too far behind that, and then the big solar eclipse, which we all learned about yesterday. What an interesting program that was with author David Barron. Learned all about what it's going to be like here, and what it is going to be like, or what it was like back in the late 1800s when a solar eclipse happened. So I hope you enjoyed that. 16 minutes past the hour here. I do have some announcements I want to make right off the top of the program. Again, because we had some technical difficulties yesterday, I want to thank the Marion Star. They did just a great article on the whole Mary Ellen Withrow event last week, and included myself and Matt and Carrington and the picture on the front page and in the article, and they did a lot of promoting for this station, so I certainly appreciate the Marion Star for that. So thank them so much. And the headline read, "Cheers of Joy, Greet Marion Native, Former U.S. Treasurer." So we thank them for that. Withrow recognized on 30th anniversary of swearing into office. Thank you, Marion Star. Now, just if you thought it was all over in regard to the Mary Ellen Withrow event, we've got one more, because as many of you know, tomorrow is Kiwanis Pancake Day here in Marion, and Matt and Carrington and I will be three of the celebrity guest servers from 11 a.m. until 12 p.m. tomorrow morning. So if you want to come out and say hello to us, 11 a.m. to 12 p.m., and Mary Ellen will be greeting people as they come in the door tomorrow, the guest greeter from 11 a.m. to 12 p.m., and then from 1 to 2, don't leave, because we will be up on stage doing the WGH show from 1 until 2. So I assume everybody who's going to be there doing something will be participating in that. So if you want to see the show, the really big show, 1 to 2 would be the time to see it. We also have Kiwanis Pancake tickets to give away this morning. We're going to try to do that over the course of the morning. You can pick those up until 2 this afternoon. So we're going to give those away as the morning goes on, probably starting next hour. Okay, I think we covered all of the housekeeping at this point. Now, oh, and Jessica Hauser will be back this morning, back from Jamaica, so she'll be with us from 9 until 11 this morning. Pastor Craig, 11 to 12. Exchange Club, 12 to 1. Pastor Craig, 1 to 2. And I should mention, I believe Matt has a very special 15-minute interview this morning at 10:15 discussing the State of the Union address, and it's a pretty good live guest this morning who's going to tell you what they think about the State of the Union last night, and that'll be at 10:15 a.m. this morning for about 15 minutes. Now that we've got all the housekeeping out of the way, now here's somebody who hasn't crawled into the studio since I think sometime in November or December, used to crawl in more frequently than she does now, but she's here this morning looking good at 8 o'clock in the morning, but here for a special reason, because not only are you going to hear from her this morning, there's a 99.9% chance you're going to hear from her tonight during the Friday night show, and then again on Monday morning, just a few days from now. Abby Chase joins us in studio. We'll see if I get the right microphone on here. And good to see you, Abby.
Good morning, Scott. How are you?
I'm doing well. It's good to have you back in the studio.
It is, but crawling back in? That's what I get?
I said you looked nice and you were refreshed, and, you know, we started on a good note.
Good note.
No, it's interesting because I believe you've only been here once, and we've been here like 5 months now.
That's right, yeah.
One time.
Was it maybe December?
It was sometime.
Yeah.
I think it was the day after the fruitcake toss.
Okay.
Because we talked about your throw.
It was that Friday. You're right.
So that's the only time you've been here. You've been here for an hour, and now we're really going to heat it up, because you're going to be here this morning, you're going to be calling in tonight, and then you're going to be back here with me on Monday morning.
That's right. You've given me a special job.
Well, this is very interesting, because tell the background, before we tell what you're actually going to be doing, people might not think you would have any interest in the amateur wrestling world of Marion, but you do. Why is this?
I do. I have a family full of wrestlers. So I've gone to the state tournament now for several years, and it's always a good time. It's exciting. It's at the Schottenstein Center, so it's huge. And Marion this year is sending 10 wrestlers, so it's a big deal.
Now, what is the atmosphere at this event? You've attended it before. Is this the championship?
It is. I mean, this is where everybody wants to be, right? I mean, it's the dream of like every high school wrestler and wrestlers younger than that. It's what you work for. It's the epitome of it all. It's the top 16 kids in each age or each weight division. So it's the best of the best.
Now, why does wrestling, aside from the fact that they are in your family, have an appeal to you? Because you've also had football players in your family and softball, so on and so forth.
Yeah. I mean, being a wrestling mom is a whole different type of, intensity, to be honest with you. I loved football. And I don't know that I love one sport more than the other. My kids have done them, so I absolutely love attending those things. But I never really thought I would be a wrestling mom until you get into it. And then it's just fun. It's intense. It's rewarding. It's wrestling's different than any other sport because it's on you. It's your performance. It's a mentality thing for those wrestlers. So it's a good thing.
Now, what I have always found interesting is that of your three kids, I've gotten to know them all somewhat.
Correct.
The fascinating thing is the one who I would qualify as the most talkative, mm-hmm. and probably in my mind would be the least likely mm-hmm. to be involved in the most combative one-on-one sport is the one who is in that sport. Yeah. Now, we don't know. Maybe the little one will end up there one day.
Right. Yeah, you're right. Owen, he's a senior this year, and he had a wonderful wrestling season. But he is, you're right. I mean, on every account, he's the least intense of my kids, probably the least competitive, but for some reason when he started in wrestling, he just got it and he went with it.
And this is not a knock. I would not think that he would be aggressive in that manner. And I think you have to be aggressive in that sport.
Absolutely. I mean, yeah, he you're right. Just to meet him, you would never think, because by nature he's not. He's not aggressive. He's not that way. But get him on the mat and he kind of found his niche. But also he's very sportsmanlike. Owen is not. I mean, you know, he wants to end well. He shakes the guy's hands. I mean, he'll talk to them before they go on the mat. So he leaves it on the mat. He doesn't take it off the mat.
Now, you also have some stepkids who are wrestlers as well. Mm-hmm. Now, do they practice at home?
We have wrestling mats in the basement.
Now, do they go down there and just wrestle it out?
No, I can't say they do. Maybe when we first got them, so, you know, they did. But they'll go out there, you know, go down there and work out and maybe spar with each other. But it's been years since they've done that.
Well, because I would think that could cause a little chaos in the house. You know, if you're down there pinning your stepbrother, this would be, you know.
I mean, this is why we got mats, so it wasn't happening in the living room, right?
Oh, it was happening in the living room. That's where it started.
Wrestling happens everywhere in my house. So, yeah, I mean, actually, it still does. So, and it's always good-natured and fun with them. But, yeah, it's with five boys in the house at any given time, plus friends, it's always a wrestling match somewhere.
So, what, from your intake of this whole thing, what have you learned about wrestling? What does it take to be a good wrestler?
I mean, I would say, like, of course there's strength and there's, you know, stamina and knowing, you know, being technically good, but truly it's a mental thing. I mean, you have to be in the right headspace, you know, take each win as it comes, but also take each loss as it comes. It's tough. I mean, it is all on you, and you know, obviously every wrestler knows that. There's not a teammate that, you know, you can have out there helping you out. But, yeah, I mean, I think it takes, for me, watching it for the boys, it's mostly like keep your head in a good space, keep your head up.
Now, why is it? Because I've always been fascinated by this. I believe amateur wrestling was one of the first sports in the Olympics. They have taken it out as of a few years ago. And colleges have it, but it certainly is not football, basketball. It doesn't draw those kind of crowds. It doesn't take that kind of cachet. Why do you think that is? Well, what has happened to wrestling over time to where, for the Olympics, not to even use it as a sport anymore?
I think it's still in the Olympics, right?
No, I think they took it out a few years ago.
Really?
Yeah, there was a big thing about that, I remember. Now, unless they put it back in, but it was taken out at one point.
I was thinking that it was in, but I don't know. No, and wrestling is like the oldest sport, right? It's been around
forever. That was why it was a story. Yeah. I remember that. Yeah.
Yeah, so I don't. Even in high school, it's the high school, middle school level, even when you start, wrestling is not like the premier sport at any school, right? It kind of gets the, you know, somewhere below football and basketball and all of those things falls wrestling in order of importance, it seems. I don't know. I don't know why.
Now, something interesting, it had always been seen as a male sport
yep.
for many, many years. Mm-hmm. And I would say, I remember interviewing the first, let's see, this shows how long I've been around. I remember interviewing the first female wrestler who made the wrestling team at Harding. Oh. And it was the first one in Marion County. And that was a big, it was like a novelty at the time. I hate to say that, but it was a novelty. And back then, because she was the only girl, and there were only very few girls at all on, at any other schools, she wrestled the boys. And that was the controversy of the whole thing. Now that's come leaps and bounds since then.
Yeah, so as of last year, the OHSAA sanctioned it as a sport in high school. They wrestle alongside the boys this weekend at the state tournament. For the most part, during the year, the girls have will wrestle at their own tournaments. They don't wrestle against the boys anymore. And obviously the state, they wrestle against boys. But, I mean, up until last year, my son has, he's wrestled girls before.
Yeah. See, I would think that would be somewhat uncomfortable.
You know, the first time he wrestled one, obviously he was in junior high. It was the first, he didn't start wrestling until seventh grade. And he, it was so uncomfortable. I mean, and he honestly almost lost. He was like, Mom, he's like, it just was, he just felt weird because it was, just so uncomfortable. Now, you know, I had to remind him several times, like they want you, the girls don't want you to treat them differently when they're wrestling. They are out there wrestling because they, you know, they don't know what they're getting themselves into. So I've just told him, you know, all along, like, just wrestle them like you would anyone else. But to them out there, it doesn't feel like that.
You know, the reason I always thought it was trouble, and I give the girls all the credit who did that, who wrestled boys back in those days. But the problem was, it's a no-win situation for the boy. Mm-hmm. Because if the boy beats the girl, ooh, you beat the girl.
Right.
You know, and then if you lose to the girl, it's even, oh, you lost to the girl.
Absolutely.
It's a no-win situation.
Right. And let me tell you, there are some tough girls out there. I mean, just when in 2021, when the state tournament was actually held at Harding, because it, you know, they separated out divisions and they didn't do it at the Shot and Steam because it was still like a COVID time. There was a girl there, and she actually placed among the boys. She placed at the boy tournament at the 106 weight pound class. But yeah, she placed. She won. She beat all these. I mean, imagine how many boys she beat to place sixth in the state.
Well, see, this is what I've always said about girls, and I think it does ring true. We've kind of diminished girls over the years, and I think we shouldn't, because I think this belies the point that girls aren't as physically strong as guys. They can't move as fast as guys. They can't do this sort of thing. Well, you know what? I don't know. I think, honestly, if it's a weight class thing, or sometimes the girls work out a little more than the guy. I really don't know if there is that big of an offset, to be honest with you.
And I think one of the girls' advantages, and Ona said this before, is they're so flexible. I mean, they're able to get out of moves a lot easier than what, you know, some boys might be able to. And obviously some of the boys are super flexible as well. But he said overall, girls just, like, kind of, they just bend different. And that's kind of true.
But now, it's no more. There is no girl wrestling a guy thing. There's a whole thing, right?
There is a whole thing, yeah. So at the state tournament, especially now, at individual tournaments throughout the year, you may see a girl there or something. But for the most part, you know, they're mostly, you know, male tournaments at high school level, and the girls have, you know, girl tournaments. So, yeah.
So now, will this be going on tomorrow? The girls' division.
It goes on all weekend. All weekend, yep. Everybody starts today. Division 3 starts at 1 o'clock today. You know, the girls are not separated in divisions like the boys are. It's, you know, 1, 2, and 3 for boys. So, yeah, everything starts today at 1 and will progress. The more you win, the longer you stay.
You said progress.
I didn't say progress.
You did. You said progress. So I'm so proud of you. But okay. in any event.
It was a mistake.
No. It's rubbing off on you. It's rubbing off on you.
Oy.
As time goes on, so this is a big weekend event.
Huge.
This weekend. Huge. How many people will be there?
I mean, so last year, you know, there was, on day one, it was the biggest crowd. I don't know if it was a sold-out Schottenstein Center, but it was real close. Very close to being sold out. It was packed. And then kind of as it thins out a little bit after Friday, you know, Saturday morning might be a little less because their wrestlers will be knocked out as after today. So if you lose twice
a
day,
not you know, physically knocked out. They'll be knocked out of the tournament.
I hope so. Knocked out of the tournament. Hopefully, I mean, not hopefully, but yeah, like not physically knocked out. Yeah. So there's two rounds today. If you win your first match, then you do not wrestle again until Saturday morning. If you lose your first match, you got another chance to stay in the tournament Friday evening. So yeah, once you lose two, you're done. So, you know, we'll see.
You know, I would think there's a lot of aggression in this, because I think you could not go into it being lackadaisical. Because if the other person, no matter how good you are, if they're aggressive and want to win, and because, as you say, it's the one-on-one aspect, mm-hmm. I don't know how you would win.
It's very intense. I mean, the whole thing is very intense. Like, I think you have to remind yourself as a wrestler, or at least I remind, you know, the boys, like, this is where you wanted to be, right? You're here, and you're among the top 16 in your weight class, in the state. You know, we're not talking, like, an individual short, in the state. So it's a huge accomplishment just to get there. But, you know, they don't want to just be there. They want to win some matches. They want to place. They want to get on that podium. So it is. The whole thing's intense. And when you're at that level, you don't. It's like you never have an easy match. Everybody's good. Every match you have to take very seriously. You can't just, you know, kind of walk through it. You got to, yeah, it's all intense.
And now that we've done the big fold, we're all in the big buildup. Now, what is the connection you will have this weekend to this event and also the connection here?
So I will be there kind of reporting back to you on how the events are going, which is super exciting. As a, you know, media personnel for WGH Talk. So I'm excited about that. And I have, you know, I have a wrestler there, so I have a couple family members that will be there, so I'm very excited about that.
But we'll have unbiased reporting, right?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, they're from Marion, so, you know, I'm there obviously covering the Marion wrestlers. It's cool that we're sending 10, eight boys and two girls. So, you know, my son wrestled at River Valley, so two of his teammates are going, and a girl is going from there, which is super exciting. And I think we also have a state alternate from River Valley, Pleasant sending 3, and Elgin sending 3. So it's very exciting.
Now, interestingly enough, because we do the Friday night program from 8:15 until 10 tonight, we will get a live report tonight of what happens today, because the festivities will be over by 8 o'clock tonight,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, I'm thinking so. I think it starts at 1, and there's 2 rounds of all the divisions. So it'll be, if it's not done, it's going to be real close. We should know kind of how the Marion boys are faring at that point. So
we'll have a good report tonight during the Friday night live show. So if you want to know how things are going, I imagine that's going to be one of the only ways to know how the Marion kids are doing. Maybe the only way at this particular point.
Yeah.
That quickly to know how the things are going here in Marion.
Right.
And then on Monday, you'll come in and give us a complete wrap-up of what happened all weekend long.
Absolutely. I hope I have lots of good news for our Marion athletes, and I can't wait.
Now, as far as the report on Monday, what are you looking for when you go in today, tomorrow, and Saturday?
Well, I mean, I think...
Or Sunday. Sunday?
Sunday. It wraps Sunday. Up... The finals are Sunday night at 5. So I think... I'll just see how they do, right? Like, you know, there's you'll start, everybody's in, and then there's, you know, quarterfinals and semifinals. So I'll be able to tell you, you know, as we progress, who's still in the tournament.
Now, do you think there's a good chance that a Marion person could win this thing?
I do.
You do?
I do.
Now, here's the thing, though. Now, this is an interesting thing as a parent. I'm not a parent. You're a parent.
Mm-hmm.
Do you think that's a lot of pressure? Because what I see is before the event, the parents... posting things about the kids. And I be proud of your kid, certainly do. But I would think there's somewhat of a pressure cooker involved in that environment to where if you don't win, what's the report say? They gave it all, they gave it their all.
Oh my gosh, like, here's the thing. Like, absolutely, I'm sure they feel a tremendous amount of pressure. I mean, it shows. But they also, you know, you have to try to remind them that they've already, I mean... Just being there, like I'm saying, I can't stress enough. Just being there is amazing. I mean, that's every child's dream.
Oh, absolutely.
So, you know, even if you're not on that podium, even if you're not in that final match on Sunday night, like you're there. Soak in that atmosphere. You know, college, obviously you can go to wrestle in college, but there's not like a professional sport that goes to after that. So this is
right.
It. I mean, this is likely, you know, some of the biggest moments of your life as far as wrestling is concerned.
Well, and that's pressure in and of itself, just that. Forget what the parents post and what mm-hmm. family members, right, what you just said is pressure.
Mm-hmm. Well, yeah, no, but I mean, I think it's just take it in. Like, you're not, you know, that's, it's kind of, it's not maybe in your high school career, it could be a once-in-a-lifetime event. It could be, you know, if you're lucky enough to go all 4 years, it's, you know, 4 times that you're there and you get to see this stuff. It's just a very cool atmosphere. It's everybody's excited to be there. It's electric inside, especially, you know, during finals, so... Be proud of yourself. Take it in.
Well, the only reason I bring this up is we've had this big debate in society for about the last 10 years that everybody should get a trophy and that people should not be considered losers. There should not be winners and losers. That's a bad word to use, and that this impacts people's self-esteem. How do you feel about all that?
I'm not that mom.
So you want winners and losers?
No, I don't want winners and losers. I want you to, I mean, you're going to do as well as, you know, as hard as you work. Right? Like, put the work in and you're going to get the results out. So, I'm not a fan of everyone gets a trophy. I don't think that teaches them the discipline that they may need for outside of sports, like, you know, in life. You need to work hard to get to where you want to be. And if you've worked hard and you've, you know, met certain goals, you're going to be successful.
I think that on the most part, for the most part, is right. But I think also for what we just talked about, that if you slip or your foot goes one way wrong, mm-hmm. or the other person just happens to slip that move in there that you can't get out of, mm-hmm. in a second, literally seconds, it's over for you.
And that's wrestling. I mean, that is absolutely wrestling. Like, there, and another factor in that is the referees. I mean, I'm not blaming them for things.
Oh, bad officiating. It's just like, you know what's funny? And maybe, again, I'm not a parent, so this is a bad thing for me to knock. But I love how in these high school games now, these parents, like, think it's the NBA or they think it's the NFL. They are out there arguing with the referees. I've never seen anything like that. I don't know what that's about.
Yeah, I mean, luckily, at most of these matches, like, the parents can't get to the mat. It's kind of it's a little different in wrestling, but the coaches can. And you know, there's some, like, last weekend, for example, like in Owens final match, it was a tough loss. Like, a referee called a very quick pin, and it was a little bit bizarre because he was on his side, he wasn't on his back.
Now, did you want to go out there?
I did.
Now, Owen's your son, for people who don't know. Uh-huh. He's the one who wrestles, and he was knocked out of the block, unfortunately, last week. Uh-huh. So, knowing that was his last wrestling match, uh-huh. period, pretty much, right?
Yeah, he's
okay, that was it.
Yep.
So, when this is going on, and you see it, that it's over, and you're in the stand, what are you thinking?
Eli wasn't happy. I mean,
Did some words come out of your mouth?
They did.
Really?
They did.
Right there amongst the people.
Well, it was kind of funny because I was in a section. I had to move from where I was sitting to this place is set up so that there was like a balcony, which is where most of the people had to sit. You were higher than the mats and most of the fans. There was a set of fans in front of me. Didn't know them from anywhere, but it was right in front of his mat, obviously. And I mean, they were yelling louder than I was. They were like, "What is that? You know, this is." That was crazy.
I don't think they said that was crazy, did they?
Well,
I know people's vernacular nowadays. I've been out in the public.
I think that was being yelled, maybe with colorful
words
in there.
That's what they said.
But like, I wasn't. I mean, I was, of course, yelling as his parent, but there were people that were like just as shocked as I was. They were like, "That was a terrible call."
But this was the home team, though, right?
No, we weren't at home. You know, districts for Owen were held in Wilmington, Ohio. So, you know, I think there's 41 different schools represented. Obviously, not, you know, when you get to it goes, you know, sectionals, district, state. So when you get to districts, there's maybe only a few wrestlers from each school there. So it's a mishmash of kids and parents. You often only know a couple of people there. But yeah, it was a bad call. And it was hard to swallow because I knew that was the end of it for him. But like, he was... To end on a bad call. But you know, that happens. And that's what I'm saying. Even at the state level, like, that stuff happens. I mean, you know, for Dax last week, and also he had a pretty questionable call in his finals
match. Stepson.
Yes. And it's tough. It's hard to explain that to them. But you know, at this point, they're seniors. They've been through it many times. It's while it's hard to swallow, they understand.
But the last match, I would think that may be a little harder to swallow in your career.
It was for me. You know, I just, maybe I... Even if he wouldn't have won the match on his own, like, you know, it was the third period, like, there was literally only like a minute left. It was hard to go out that way. It was.
I would think. Yeah. Because this is something he's been involved in how many years?
He started as a seventh grader, which honestly is kind of behind the game. You know, my stepson started much younger than that. But he worked hard and he's done well. So he's very satisfied with his wrestling, you know, career, if you will, high school career, and he's good. I mean, so it was hard for me to be upset about that when he's happy with how he did. And I was very happy with how he did. Owen just has a different mindset. You know how he is. Like, he's very happy with what he did. Would he have liked to have done better? Maybe, but he worked hard and he can't change. Very rarely are you ever going to change a referee's call. What are you going
to
do?
Well, when the train gets to the last stop, you get off.
You get off. And he had that mindset. He said, "Mommy, wrestling isn't my life." He's super excited to graduate. He's ready to move on. So I'm proud of him for that.
Going to be a firefighter.
He's going to be a firefighter.
So there you go. He's got a career path all set. He's a senior this year.
Yep.
So not too long left for him.
He graduates May 24th. It's kind of crazy. He turns 18 May 23rd, graduates May 24th, has his graduation party May 25th.
And then off and going.
I think I'm going to be, I'm probably going to be an emotional train
wreck. And this is the second one.
Yeah, I don't think it's going to be any easier, honestly. Like, obviously, the first one, it was like I kind of maybe know what to expect more, but But I don't think it's any easier at this point.
It's all winding down.
Yep, I'm already feeling
it. It's all winding down. Now, what do you see yourself doing when all the kids are out?
Oh, vacationing.
Really? That's what you want to do?
Absolutely. Yeah, no. Yes, I want to travel. I want to do things. And of course, I'll, you know, maybe travel to where they are if they're not around in Ohio or in Marion. But no, there's things I want to do.
Now, interestingly enough, we've got about 20 minutes and you're going to call in these reports. So we've got time to talk about other things. Mm-hmm. You brought something up the other day that I found interesting. There's a performer you're going to go see on spring break. Mm-hmm. Now, tell people who this is and why this is a thing, because I think this is a fascinating story. It's about your brothers and sisters.
Yeah.
Brother and sister.
My brother and sister, yeah. So, it's David Gray. A lot of people know, like, probably the most song people would relate him to is Babylon. He obviously has several albums that are not just one song. But, yeah, so when we were younger, I mean, I'm talking, like, my adult life, but early 20s, you know, I'm trying to think. The last time I saw him was 2014, and I saw him with my brother and his wife at the time, but his wife, and we all went. So that's been 10 years ago, which I didn't realize. But he used to play, like, when he'd come to Ohio, because he's, you know, from overseas, he would play, like, a Cleveland show, a Columbus show, a Cincinnati show, and we would try to hit all of them while he was in town, because it was, you know, the same weekend or same week.
You'd go to all three shows.
Yeah, we'd try. Yeah, we'd try to do what we could.
That's a fan.
And it was fun because then I was with the one, you know, a couple of times it was just with my brother. So we would have that time together and he, you know, he's probably the one who actually turned me on to that music and him. But so it's always been a good time. And then this just a couple days ago, I was on my phone and I saw where he was going to be in New York, which is crazy because he hasn't been over here touring in like, I think 10 years. I mean, I could be wrong about that. He may have been in here once or twice, but yeah. So I sent it to my sister who lives in New York and I said, listen, he's going to be in your neighborhood. Like, you got to go. And the next morning she texts back and said, if I buy the tickets, can you guys get here? So immediately it was a, you know, group chat with my brother and my sister and myself. So my brother immediately said, I'm in. And he has younger kids than I do. So and he has a crazier schedule. So I thought, you know, if he's in, I got to get there. So he's actually going to be in Pittsburgh. The concert's on a Monday. He's going to be in Pittsburgh the weekend leading up to it. So he said, I would offer you a ride, but I'm going to go from Pittsburgh. And I said, no problem. So I hopped online and plane tickets were super cheap, which they never are. So it's like within 10 minutes of this group chat, I bought a plane ticket to New York and I'm heading out.
So going to be a great spring break.
Yeah. I mean, it's going to be a short little trip. Like, it's a Sunday to Tuesday thing, but you know, we have dinner reservations and the concert and some time with my sister and nieces. And of course my brother will be there. He and I are going to fly out together. He decided when plane tickets were so cheap, he said, let's just fly together. So we're going to do that. I'm excited.
So this person said something to you because you've had your picture taken with this person. I saw the picture the other day. It looks like you were standing though in the dark. It's an interesting picture. Like the half of your face, I can't even see in the picture.
That was actually when he played at the Columbus Palace Theater.
Did they forget to pay the electric bill that
weekend? No, the Ohio Theater. Well, when he comes out, you know, he's going to like his van, his bus, his tour bus, right? So we just kind of stalked him out. We just stayed out.
Oh, you were groupies that night.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Oh.
We were groupies every time we went.
Were there a lot of people out there waiting for the bus?
No, there was.
I heard this guy the other day. I was introduced to him the other day. And I just can't imagine he's the type of guy who draws a lot of groupies, but. You know, to each their own.
Here I sit.
To each their own.
No, I mean, I love his music. I love his voice. And he's a performer, of course, but it's not like a concert you go to and like, you know, get crazy and headbang or do any of that.
Well, it's interesting because he's playing a place in New York called the Bowery.
Uh-huh.
Are you surprised I remember that?
The Bowery Ballroom.
Bowery Ballroom. And we looked at this the other day when you found you were going to be doing all this. And it's not a big venue at all. Mm-hmm. Very small venue, matter of fact.
Right, yeah. It does look kind of small. I don't know how many seats. I don't think we ever found that information. But yeah, it's small. And like often you sit down. Like you'll stand up at some of them. But it's like I said, it's not a crazy concert. I mean, I think at the Bowery, I read that some events are 21 and over. Like, they don't have, you know, a lot of young kids there or craziness, but I'm so excited. I haven't seen him, like I said, in 10 years. So.
Now, when you go to New York for a trip like this, a few day trip, now obviously you'll have fun at the concert. Do you bring back gifts?
No. It's a mean trip.
Well, yeah, but you just stop in a gift shop. They're everywhere in New York.
Is it a gift shop? Do you need a gift from New York?
Well, I just thought it would be nice, you know? Okay. I mean, wouldn't
I'll think about that. Maybe something from the Bowery Ballroom for you. I'll see what I can find.
There you go.
Yeah.
You know, oh, a big poster.
is a big poster.
We'll have this guy autograph it. He doesn't have a lot of groupies, so I'm sure he'd have time to do that when the show is over.
Yes, and you were saying when he spoke to me, we spoke.
We didn't get that story. Yes. Yeah, the story. Yeah.
So I was having him sign my ticket stub. Actually, it was a whole paper ticket. So he was signing the corner of my ticket, and he asked me what my name was, and I said it was Abby, of course, and he said A-double-B. That's what he said.
A-double-B.
A-double-B, like A-B-B.
Now, so he didn't ask you how to spell your name.
Yeah, that's what
was
he
was
asking.
Was that what
asking.
He was doing?
Yeah, that's what he was asking, because he started, right, he was like, A-double-B. I was like, yep, A-double-B-Y, you know. I didn't say double-B, I said A-B-B-Y, and he's like, double-B. And that's funny.
Well, you said A-B-B-Y, and then he said double-B.
Yeah.
A-double-B.
Yeah. Isn't that funny?
Now, this moment sticks with you, because he's from a foreign country.
He's from, like...
And he's got a little accent going on there. So it was a little different.
He's British.
Yeah. Like, if somebody at the gas station said, what's your name? And you said Abby, A-double-B, it probably wouldn't have the same effect.
I wouldn't say that, no. I wouldn't be as impressed as somebody else.
Yeah, so it's this man.
It's this man, yeah. He is, I like listening to him talk, and...
Just find a good British person and listen to him talk.
I know that we're practically best friends at this point, but, like, how often do we, you know...
You and this guy?
I feel like that.
You feel like you're best friends. You haven't seen him in 10 years.
He knows how to spell my name.
It's a whole thing. Every 10 years you see your best friend. That's very nice.
Yes. We keep in touch.
Now, I do want to run around some current events here, because what would it be if you didn't come in for that?
Okay.
But remember, you'll be calling in tonight to give us the rundown of what happens today at the big... what's the tournament called?
It's the OHSAA State Wrestling Tournament.
State Wrestling Tournament down at the Schottenstein Center. You'll have the first live report tonight that you'll get in Marion just after 8 o'clock on the Friday Night Live program. And then Monday morning, Abby will be back, and we'll do all the fallout from the entire weekend. We'll find out who the champion is on Monday. Do they call him the champion?
Of course.
Do they get a big old wrestling belt like WWE?
No. They get like a big...
They should.
They get a giant bracket, right, that has their name. It shows like each match they won, like a bracket.
Do you think they should get a belt?
A belt would be cool. You know, there are tournaments they can get into that give belts, but no, you don't.
Trophy? No trophy?
No, I don't think. I don't know if it's.
Wow, no trophy.
Maybe it's a trophy. It's like a. I don't remember. I mean, because Carter won, but we have the big thing, and I don't know if there's a trophy or a plaque or I don't know. I don't feel like it's a giant trophy.
Well, there are two. We have what we have. About 13 minutes. We can get through these two topics because doesn't it though?
So fast.
See. When you're having fun.
Yep.
And you'll be back more with us now that your schedule clears up a little bit.
Yeah. Hopefully I am. Yes.
Yeah, we hope. It's always fun. So now these current events I thought were kind of tailor-made toward you. We're going to do them with Jessica when she comes in later on, and Matt, and probably do some of them even tonight, because it's good to get different people's opinion on this. But let's get to the two topics here, because I think this is kind of interesting. We'll start with this one, because I think this will be the easier one to go through. Okay, Jason Kelce, the brother of Travis Kelce, announced this week that he's going to retire after 10 years, and he got very emotional in the press conference that he's retiring, because he says, I don't know what I'm going to do next. Mm-hmm. Now what? So, has there ever been a moment in your life where you thought, I don't know what I'm going to do next. Now what?
I don't know. I mean, professionally, not really, because I've had the same, career. I've had the same job for over 20 years, so I kind of stick it out. But I mean, in my personal life, probably, like, what am I gonna do next? But you don't really have time to think when you're a mom and you're busy. I don't know if I've had any of those profound moments.
I just thought it was prophetic, because and I don't really know much about this guy, but I found it a prophetic thing. I watched the little press conference, mm-hmm. and I thought it was interesting, because certainly he is not elderly, mm-hmm. but this is what he wanted to do. This is what he loves to do, mm-hmm. but he knew, again, when the train gets to the last stop, you get off. You don't want to stay around till you're no longer good, and people say, why is he still here? You want to leave. Why? They say, why is he leaving? And that's what people are doing. But yet, when you make that decision to leave, you're leaving something you love. Mm-hmm. So that's very, very hard. That's a very, and I think it's not what do I do next because I need the money or, I need time to fill. It's just I did the thing I wanted to do, and now I've said goodbye to it. Now what do I do?
Yeah, no, absolutely. And I think he's really excited. I listened to his speech as well, like, and kudos to his parents for raising, like, men that are in touch with their emotions, right? Like, they're not afraid to get up there and say how they feel. I think that's pretty amazing.
Yeah, I always appreciate it when somebody gets up and cries in front of a big press conference.
Crying, but he knew, like, it's emotional to him, and he's not, like, afraid to show it. I think that's pretty amazing for men these days, right? But anyway, I think that...
you know, somewhere in there, I think there was a dig buried. But
there
go
was
ahead.
No dig.
A little bit of a dig, but I'm, you know, I'm going to let it go.
No dig. Absolutely not. Not at all. I mean, truthfully, like, men aren't as, you know, they often don't want to show emotions. And I think it's pretty cool that there was something that he was so emotional about, right? But I think he's also ready to raise his kids, you know, in his speech. And he's ready to spend more time. He's got young babies. But, you know, an Ohio boy, right? Cleveland and then
Ohio
University
boy.
Of Cincinnati. So he's Ohio through and through.
He can do what he wants to do.
Absolutely. And I think there'll be a place for him. I mean, obviously he has a super successful podcast, which is hilarious. I love listening to it with him and his brother. But I think he, you know, probably has some sort of future in like broadcasting. I think he'll
you know what, though? I hate to say this. I hate it when they bring in former players as broadcasters.
Really?
Because now here's my pet peeve in all sports, and they all do it. They're not doing it because they're good broadcasters. They're doing it because they played the game and people recognize the name. And very, very few of them are fundamentally good broadcasters. And I think it takes away jobs from people who are trained broadcasters in that event. And I don't like that. There's just something about it that I don't like.
I can see that, but I also see the benefit of having someone who has played the game, talk about the game, you know, analyze the play. Yeah. I mean, I don't know if he'll be maybe he won't be a whole broadcaster, but I feel like he'll be one of those guys we see like on, you know, NFL before the games
and that'd be
talking
fine.
To them. And because he is used to being on the other, you know, behind the microphone end of it with his podcast. And I think he's good to talk and he's funny. And I think he would definitely draw, you know, a certain audience.
You know, we had a topic the other night when I was here with Matt and Carrington before we get to the last one here. And I thought this was interesting. You just talked about it, you know, laughing and so on and so forth on his podcast. I think, and also having emotion, we were having the discussion the other night. When you leave something, because he was crying, mm-hmm. Should people always try to be funny? Because you always try to lighten the mood when something like that is going on. But he was clearly at the, this is it. This is it for his career, and he was clearly emotional. And I feel that if you want to be emotional, I don't think people should be the balloon pricker and try to come in with a joke. I think that's very ill-placed.
Yeah, maybe. I think so in that case. I mean, I don't know. I don't know if you have to come in funny. I don't know. I don't think that's necessary.
I think all the exits and whatever they have been on the public scene, whether it's sports or movies or television or whatever it is, I think the ones you remember the most are when that person who was funny all the time got emotional mm-hmm. because they know they're leaving for the last time.
Yeah, no, definitely. I think that, yeah, absolutely. It has a lot to do with it.
Now, this topic's a little lighter. Okay. You'll appreciate this topic. Anne Hathaway. Do you like Anne Hathaway?
Yeah.
She's the big Disney girl.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
Anne Hathaway, getting on in years. Anne Hathaway, a movie trailer that she's going to be in a new movie. The trailer dropped the other day. By the way, the movie's called The Idea of You, so go see it when it comes out. But it's about a mom in her 40s, that's who Anne Hathaway plays, who's dating a famous musician in his 20s. Boy, this just...
I think I just saw that.
Did you see this?
Yeah.
Well, it caused all kinds of controversy. The internet went crazy when this trailer dropped because she's a cougar and it's disgusting that she's with a 20-year-old. But on the opposite side, there was some favorable opinions of this that should let her do what she wants and why does age matter. But I think people were surprised because Anne Hathaway usually does not get bad press like that. Mm-hmm. And I think people were also surprised that this was a topic that we still deal with. They wouldn't have done it if it was an older man and a younger
right.
woman, I don't
right.
think. But I thought that was fascinating. Being a woman in her, well, wherever you are.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
30.
Yeah, there you go. Being a woman in that age group category, somebody in the 20s, it's 20 years younger. There's a little age gap there.
Yeah, there's an age gap. Good for her. Like, I'm not one of those people that would say, like, oh, that's gross or, oh, this is thing. For me, it's a really hard to wrap my head around because I have a son that's 21 years old. So to think of something 21 years or 20 years younger than me, it's a little weird, but I don't shun it. Good for her. Like,
But if you are over, I mean, is there a cutoff point? Is there a point? Well, I got a thing going on this morning.
You got it. You okay?
But, well, you know, I can't cough on the mic. 60 and 20. Would that be wrong? I'm saying, where's the line?
I don't know where the line is exactly. I mean, to each his own, I suppose. Like, I don't know. I mean, I can't imagine being 60. Like, I'm 44. I can't imagine being 60 and, you know, thinking I should go after a 20-year-old. But I don't know.
Shouldn't? That you shouldn't?
I don't. think that I should go after it. I mean, I don't care. I'm 60 and thinking I should go after a 20-year-old.
Well, here's the thing that I thought about this when I was reading this. Because Anne Hathaway, like I said, gets... I have never heard negative press in her regard. So this was kind of shocking to me that she got this. But what was interesting to me is, if somebody is over 18, mm-hmm. I mean, the legalities are gone mm-hmm. of anything happening, period. So what's shocking to me is that, much like with any relationship you have in life, do you really sit there and think, how old is this person? I don't think that's how it happens.
No, I agree. I don't either. You're obviously connecting on some level that has nothing to do with age. And I think that that's fine. But I think you just have to be prepared for, like, socially what people think. I'm not saying, like, yeah, legally it's not, you know, it's fine. But
you know, somebody told me one time who dated a much younger person. It was good in the beginning. It went well for like 3-6 months, something like that. And then I saw that, but they weren't very close to me. And then I saw them, and it was over.
Yeah.
And I said, well, what happened? I said, you seemed so happy and went through all that trouble of, you know, you were in your 50s, they were in their 20s. Mm-hmm. I thought maybe that's what did it, was the shunning. And he said, she didn't know the songs. And, you know,
that's true.
We know what that means.
Yeah, I mean, I think that you would... At some point, the common ground would run out, right? The conversation would not be there. Like, you're in two different phases of your life, more than likely. And I think I would see where maybe you run out of things to talk about that's mutual.
Like, I think going out to dinner, you can do that. I think going in, you know, having those fun little trips, you can do that. But when you actually have to sit down and have a conversation, that might be a little dicey.
Yeah, yeah. You might run out of things to say.
And I think that's what happened in this particular scenario.
I can see that.
Yeah. So, I don't know. It's an interesting story, and
but, I mean, why are they shunning Anne Hathaway? Like, she's the actress. She's not, like, she's going after a 20-year-old.
Well, because it's kind of weird. Even though it's a movie, you know, I mean, it's about a relationship. Why are movies so gratuitous now? I think that's part of the problem.
It is. I agree.
I think because of the gratuitous nature of the movie, whether or not they're in a relationship or not, which I don't believe that they are, I haven't heard that, mm-hmm. that there's gratuitous scenes with a 40-year-old woman and a 20-year-old guy.
Well, then don't go. I mean...
Yeah, you know, we all say that, but we judge everything in society to the hilt today.
But also in those movies, like, the actor may not be 20 years old. Like, they play, just because they play a 20-year-old, there's like 30-year-olds that play high school students, right? So
I think he is. I saw the trailer.
Good for her. Go Anne.
But I don't know that it's a thing for her. I don't know if it's Anne. I think it's her character in the movie, but...
Right. That's either way, you know.
I think it was basically just apoplectic of society.
What word are you using today?
Well, this is how I do the show every day. Have you ever listened to the show?
I have, but that was a different one.
we kind of get this in before you leave, though, because you're all about this eclipse coming up on April the 8th. You missed the show yesterday, which
I did.
That's a big downer because we nailed it all. But why do you think this eclipse is going to be a thing?
I think it's cool. Like, it's once in a lifetime, right? I know that it'll come through again, but it's not going to come through Ohio again. So, you know,
if the weather's like it is right now, no dice.
Maybe not. No, maybe a little bit. But I think it's just cool because, like, we don't have to go anywhere to see it, right? A lot of times there's obviously a huge group of people that follow it, but we're here. So I think for us, it definitely is the next time it comes through, like, directly overhead is, like, 2099. So we're not going to be here for that. So I think the fact that we can just kind of, you know, go in our own backyard and see something like that.
Yeah. Well, I just got a message from Mary because, you know, the messages come in from everywhere now.
Okay.
And this was on the last topic. Her sex life will last longer with a younger man.
Yeah.
Maybe. I don't know. You know, that or kill you.
I'm just sure what she's getting at there, but I bet so.
Yeah. Well, I don't know. So the eclipse is...
Yeah, exactly.
So that day, like, will you have, like, eclipse eve jitters?
I don't think I'll go that far, but... and I don't honestly think I'm going to get involved in any of the, like... you know, hype or like, I think I'll just stay home. I don't want to go get out in it. And if there's really going to be all that traffic and all the craziness, like, I just want to stay home.
Do you think that will happen? Because there are the people who are saying yes. There are the people who are saying no.
I do. I think to some degree, I think we'll see more traffic maybe like on, you know, 95 or 23 or things like that. Like places where people might get right off a highway to see the eclipse and stop and see it. But and also it depends on the sky, because if they wake up that morning, the eclipse followers, if they happen to be in our town and they wake up that morning and it's going to be cloudy, they will drive to where they can see it more clearly. So
I learned a term yesterday when David was on, eclipse chasers.
Yeah,
like tornado chasers.
Exactly right. It's on that Facebook page. Yeah, that was something that I was telling the other day.
But it's fascinating to me that people do this. And he seemed very mesmerized by the whole thing, that you see the planets and there's this 4 minutes of darkness. Mm-hmm. And, you know, okay.
Yeah, the cool thing to me, like, I think that I'm most excited about, obviously, is seeing the eclipse, but I think it's going to go dark whether we have cloudy skies or not, right? Like, I mean, it's going to get dark. It will be
like a darkness if we have cloudy skies, like dark clouds.
We just won't be able to see it.
We won't be able to see the sky. We won't see the moon, and we won't see the planets, and we won't see all that because of cloudiness. But right. It doesn't go pitch black. It's not like night, even if it does happen.
Right.
So it'll just look like, you know, a plane flew over your house or something.
It'll be darkness, but it'll last for a long time, and that's
4 minutes.
Darkness. Yeah. So, I think it's cool because I was reading online. I think I shared with you that nature is, and when these people describe it online, that it goes silent. So, like, dogs don't bark and birds don't chirp. I think that is fascinating, like, to be outside and just be silent. That's crazy.
You know, I want you to run this down before you leave here this morning, but he gave a tip yesterday that I thought was interesting. He said, put the phones down. Yep. He said, if you want to see it, if you want to record it for whatever reason, put your phone on a timer and put it on a stand and do that. And don't put it on social media because you'll ruin it for other people.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, no, I read the same thing. Like, because people are like, what should I use? What kind of lens should I use? And they're like, just don't. Just take it in. Like,
yeah, if you want to do it, do it. Yep. You can put it on a stand over here. But don't let that ruin what you're going to see.
I totally agree. No, I totally agree with
and
that.
Don't social media it because it hasn't gotten to everybody at that point.
Right.
And if they turn on their social media, you're going to ruin what they see. Give it a couple days.
Right. No, yes, absolutely. Yeah. I mean, it's going to be such a cool thing. I hope everybody doesn't just...
Once in a lifetime.
Yeah.
Next one's 2099?
2099. That comes across Ohio, right? That'll come overhead for
us. I'll be here.
I think there's one in like 2045, but it's not in our viewing area.
Well, you know.
But people will travel to it. You can be an eclipse chaser, Scott.
In 2099?
2045.
Oh, 2045. But I'll stick around for 2099. I'll be here for 2099.
Why? Of course you will be.
Where else would I be?
Scott?
Yeah.
You're the bot. It'll be
AI.
AI.
It'll be AI me. Yes. All right. Run down the weekend.
Okay. So I will be taking off this morning, probably a little after 10. We'll get there. Wrestling starts at 1 with Division 3, and we'll follow the rest of the evening. In through the night. Hopefully we're done by 8. I'll give you a report regardless at, you know, 8:15, 8:30. And then tomorrow morning, wrestling begins again at 9:30. And then the semifinal matches will take place at 5 o'clock tomorrow, I believe, or Saturday evening. Sunday morning is placement. Anybody who's not wrestling for first place. And then at 5 o'clock, it's first place matches only. So that's when they'll begin with the 106 weight class and go through the heavyweights.
Is there a gift shop there?
At Schottenstein, I would imagine there is. I don't know if there's OHSAA. I'm sure there will be apparel. What is it that you a sticker? What is it that I need to bring you back?
No. I mean, like a cup.
I'll take pictures though. I'll send pictures.
Send pictures.
I will send pictures
with a little report of what we're seeing.
Yeah, and so you can kind of see like the atmosphere. So you can see how many people are actually there for a high school event, and you know, kind of how cool it actually is.
And you'll be right next to the Mets.
I will.
Is where I understand the media will be.
I will.
So here we go. WGH Talk wrestling reporter Abby Chase this weekend, and we will hear from her again tonight at during the 8 o'clock hour of the Friday Night Live show. And then Abby will be back on Monday morning starting at 8:15. And we'll do the whole wrap-up of what happens this weekend.
I can't wait.
All right. Abby, thank you for coming in today. We're coming back with Jessica Hauser back from Jamaica, and Matt in a big special interview this morning at 10:15 concerning the State of the Union. Don't you dare turn away.
To her maternal grandparents, Charlie and Clara Meske. Following her adoption, she was renamed Marilyn, given her grandmother's surname of Meske, and reared in the family home on South Prospect Street in Marion, Ohio. While still a child, she exhibited a talent for dance and received formal dance instruction throughout her childhood. She later became a tap dance instructor using the family's living room as her studio. And now a few words from Scott Spears, Charlie Evers, and the man with the golden voice, Ted Williams.
Have you heard my interviews with Phyllis Diller?
Have I heard it? I could recite it word for word.
Well, Charlie, you must have a great memory.
Well, not really, but after 6,432 airings, it just becomes a part of your life. The sun comes up, the sun goes down, the moon comes out, and you hear Phyllis Diller's interview and cackle.
Don't miss it.